I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I wonder if anybody's ever had to come to me and ask me, like, Olin, tell us what you think. You know, don't sugarcoat it.
Olin Krutz.
If the guy didn't want to fight me at some point during the game, I am not playing hard enough.
14-year NFL veteran.
The leader of the whole deal, Olin Krutz. He's the heartbeat, he's the soul, and he's the guy that's going to lead the way for the Bears offensive line.
6-time Pro Bowler and 4-time NFL All-Pro.
I know if Olin's speaking, it's going to be the truth, it's going to be what he sees, and it's probably going to be right.
Football analyst for 670 The Score.
I heard you guys say about Cole Kmet's dad. His dad told him that, you know, what else would you do? And I thought to myself, man, construction, right? If I got a long snap, I'll just be a construction worker. If I don't make it playing offensive line, I have to find something else to do. And I wasn't going to be a doctor and I wasn't going to be a lawyer. So you do the math.
Olin Krutz with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Tony's having coffee when? Tomorrow with Olin?
Yeah, tomorrow morning.
Meeting Olin tomorrow.
He's coaching. So we talk a little bit about that. He'll say, God, they won't listen. And I said, yeah, welcome to the club.
Our segment with Olin Krutz is brought to you by your local Ford dealer. Shop now at buyfordnow.com. Olin, thanks for joining us. We had Tony Wise in here yesterday with Dave Wannstedt. It was a delight, and it was awesome. Can you now see things from the point of view of the coaches that you dealt with your whole life now that you are a coach?
Of course. That is what happens, right? It happens with all of us. As we get older and we have kids, and you see things from the point of view of the adults who are trying to help you and guide you through, you know, either your football career or it could be teachers in school. You feel bad for the way you treated them also, and your parents when you wouldn't listen to them. So Coach Wise, you start to learn, as you know, Lawrence, you're a teacher also, and I'm sure Spiegs goes through some of this too. You start to learn that showing someone how to do something is not so easy. I remember the first time I started coaching football at St. Mary's in Lake Forest, and that was the fifth and sixth graders when I first started coaching. And I said, get in your stance, you know, and they looked at me like, what the hell is a stance, right? So you have to learn how to put it into words to actually teach people how to do things. And, of course, you start to emphasize with your coaches that you wouldn't listen to.
So, Olin, you had a pretty packed weekend last weekend with the Carmel game, the boys playing Illinois, and your wife running the marathon. How did it all go?
And then it started on Thursday. My daughter Grace played at St. Ignatius, her volleyball game. So we actually started Thursday night. We got home at about 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and it went from Thursday on. But it all went well. You know, some were wins and some were losses. Wendy did really well in the marathon. She always amazes me. She doesn't, you know, get any massages, doesn't have any personal coach. She doesn't have a chiropractor. She doesn't have any of that. She just goes out and runs, and she turned in a 3-hour and 43-minute marathon, qualified for Boston again. So
God.
It ended good. I'm sure you guys saw the Purdue-Illinois game. It was crazy. And then on Friday night, we went out and played DePaul College Prep. They beat us late in the game. It was a good game. Thursday, Grace's team, Loyola, very good volleyball team. They beat Ignatius, but Ignatius gave them a run. And IC Catholic. I shouldn't say that. You know, Matt Bowen's school.
Yes.
I actually saw Matt there.
Wow.
He walked in and said hello. It's good to see. His son looks like a hell of an athlete. Now, freshman. I think he just started out his career at IC Catholic. He looks like he's going to be a really good football player. I'm sure he will be with his dad, right?
And yeah,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I went and saw him a few weeks ago when they were at Ignatius, and he got a sack in the varsity game. He's going to be a player.
I don't doubt it. He looks like he's going to be a player. When Matt told me how old he was, I said, Matt, I can't wait to follow his career and watch him, right? But the IC Catholic football team, their volleyball team was up 19-17 at one point. One kid went on all fours, and the other kid bench pressed 19 reps, and they counted them out. And I said to myself, man, you guys win tonight.
Olin, I was I caught wind of the score of Purdue and Illinois as Illinois was blowing that lead, and I put it on, and my wife, an alum, an Illini alum, like something tapped into her inner Illinois meatball, and she was going crazy watching that thing. And it was so much fun because they almost blew it. I mean, they basically did blow it, but then they showed some resolve to come back. How did your boys take that? What do they come out of a game like that learning?
Well, I do know this. I get paid to do the Bears. I do analyst work for the Bears. No one pays me to analyze Illinois. So let's move on to the Bears.
All right.
Speaks, I'll tell you something that Brian Urlacher told me once. Win by one, win by 100. I still kick your ass.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
It was an entertaining football game, that's
it
for
was.
Sure.
It was. Your speech said blow it like 9 times.
Yeah, sorry about that. That's my bad. That's all right. Well, you got to be mad at somebody.
They blew it 9. They blew it.
Yeah.
They blew it.
I'm happy. Happy to be that guy for you. Whatever you need. Olin, let me ask you one other thing about Tony Wise. Has offensive line technique changed in 20 years? Like in 20, 30 years? Or can you and Tony still talk about specifics of offensive line play that you teach that he taught as well?
Oh, of course. Coach Wise, blocking has not changed, right? You still got to get your hand inside. You got to be elbowless from the back. You got to bring your knees into somebody. Your pads got to be under pad, and you got to come off the ball, you know, with the right angles. And Coach Wise can still teach in today's game, and we're still saying the same things. Some guys may try to say it a little more fancy now, but no, Coach Wise is really been a guy I can really lean on when I talk to him. He sent me a lot of his drill tape, and I use a lot of his drills up there at Carmel Catholic, and a lot of his ideas and concepts. You know, Harry Hestand, another guy I lean on. Bob Wiley is a guy I'll call sometimes. But those guys, man, I mean, those guys can still coach football. They can still coach people how to block people. And no, the game has not passed them by at all.
I use you, Olin, as like a litmus test of like what's real and what's not, because I know that you're not going to sugarcoat opinions when it comes to the Bears once you watch the tape. How would you describe, if you believe that there's been improvement, because I mean they've scored what, 10 touchdowns in the last two games, but how would you describe how the offense is getting better? What are the things that you're looking at that indicate it being so?
Yeah, well, when you watch, you know, first you'll start with the quarterback, right? And I'm sure you guys have a lot of people on this week talking about his improvement and where he's gone with this offense and how much, you know, you saw Kurt Warner put up the graphic of how fast he was getting the ball out, right? He was getting the ball out in under 3 seconds, which we all know, you know, your coach wants to talk about. He would have a stopwatch behind a quarterback. Under 3 seconds is a critical number in the NFL to get that ball out. And then, you know, he can hurt the team, the defense with his legs, and he showed that, especially in a two-minute drive at the end of the half against the Jaguars. And then that really stops the pass rush, right? Because now the ball's coming out too fast. I talk a lot about when I had that short stint with the Saints and Drew Brees, when he got the ball out so fast, guys figured, why rush, right? Why rush the passer when the ball's coming out that fast? And the Jaguars did have 2 sacks to start that game, but the Bears corrected some things and moved forward. But just playing quarterback from the pocket, Lawrence, recognizing what plays to get in and out of as far as the quarterback goes, his play has really, really improved. And then the play call, I think we talked about that a lot, right? We talked about they've gone to a first 15, getting the ball moving downhill a little more, getting swift. Coach Eberflus talked about him hitting the holes earlier in the game. I think it was the first run against the Jaguars. He danced a little bit. You can almost see, like, when he picked himself off the ground, is I got to correct that, right? Immediately, I got to correct that. So they're getting better at the little things. They're getting better at doing things better. And then, of course, you know, having Keenan Allen back and having him healthy and having him running routes and having him catching the back shoulder pass and the slant, I think he's been critical getting all their guys back, threatening the defense with those 3 wide receivers. And, you know, Cole Kmet, what a game he had, and Swift. They are dangerous, but a lot of improvement is coming, to be honest. And I know, like, what you're talking about, because these defenses that they've played have been just terrible. But to blow away a team in the NFL is not easy, right, Lawrence and Speaks? You guys know that. To win by the margins that the Bears have won by the last 2 times they went out and played, and to really put those kind of numbers on any NFL team, no matter how bad the defense is impressive. And I know the Panthers had all those injuries. I know the Rams had injuries, so the Jaguars, but you can only play who they put there out there on the field. I think some of this we're watching, guys, and it could take a step back on the road. One of the things I noticed, you know, when they had those two sacks early on in the first quarter, they were going silent count in London, and they didn't need to because it was mostly Bears fans. They went away from the silent count. They went back to their own cadence, gave the offensive line a little bit of an advantage. So we got to see when they go on the road, these two games, now only against the Commanders because against the Cardinals, it'll be all Bears fans there again. But we'll see how real that pass blocking is when they go on the road. But as far as the offense improving, obviously the defense, we know what level they play at, even with injuries in their secondary. As far as the offense improving at the quarterback position, which is helping the offensive line out, which is getting Keenan Allen back in healthy, some of that is real.
Can you tell us more about how a quarterback who knows what he's doing, distributes, and gets the ball out fast, how that helps the offensive line look better? Because the line has looked better, and we're trying to figure out what's the line and what's the quarterback.
Right, and it's a really good question because when the ball comes out fast, you only have to hold your block for 2 to 3 seconds, right? And then the guy, he notices the ball is coming out. He stops his rush. He goes to jump. And then, you know, we like to say on the offensive line, punish the jumper, right? So if he goes to jump, you punish him for jumping, hit him, put him on the ground, keep his hands down so that quarterback can get the ball out fast. And as far as identifying and putting you in the right play and giving you an advantage, you know, I think they called Icky Rover one play. I heard him on TV. Icky Rover, and there's a toss to the right. You know, Rover, obviously, in football, we're smart. So R is right, L is left, right? So any word like that. And then, I don't know, maybe I'm just guessing, but maybe Icky has something to do with Icky Woods and a play that he liked to run. But those are the kind of – that's just an example. That's not what they did. But just an example of how they come up with that. But he goes Icky Rover, and he notices they have the advantage to the field, and he tosses it to the field, which makes – you know, if you can get a double team and have the numbers, by that I mean you have four blockers, they have three defenders out there on the edge, obviously you're going to look good, right? Now you have the numbers. You're not running uphill all the time. Everyone's on a one-on-one block. It's a hard block. They have the advantage like the option against the Colts, right? That's an uphill play. And I think that the words I heard come out of the locker room after that play on the goal line when it was option is that Caleb did have an opportunity to maybe check out of that, or he shouldn't have checked to that play. So right there for you guys is an example of a quarterback getting better and making his offensive line better, because you guys remember that Colts game, the option play that they shouldn't have checked into, all the offensive linemen were laying on the ground because they were all hard blocks. They didn't have the angles. Now, fast forward to this Jaguars game, he checks him into a toss to the right side, and you got Cole Kmet and Darnell Wright doubling one guy. Well, that defender's in trouble, and everyone's got a nice angle on their block, and now they're easier blocks for what you guys we all will not say that the Bears have any elite offensive linemen yet.
I want to flip over to defense for just a second. We're talking with Olin Krutz, as we do every Friday to get you ready for a Bears game. No Bears game this weekend, but a ton of NFC North action to discuss. I look at this defense and I go, all right, they still haven't quite been a menace in the pass rush necessarily, but everywhere you look, someone on every level is doing good things. What do you think has gone right? Because they're on this streak now. They're holding opponents under 21 points, and that should be enough for damn near any team to win games.
Just like the story has always been with the Chicago Bears, Lawrence, right? All the assets are on that side of the ball. They got two big money linebackers. They got a big money cornerback. They drafted three more cornerbacks. They traded for a big money DN, and they got the big money head coach, right? So Coach Eberflus is elite at calling plays. Montez Sweat is even though maybe you don't see him, it's because he's getting doubled and triple teamed, right? Javon Dexter is benefiting from that. Javon Dexter, in case you're wondering, another second-round pick, right? Billings has stepped up his game. They got a lot of good players, and they really believe in that system, Lawrence. And we've seen when the players in that cover two, Tampa two, whatever you want to call it, system buy into it. It can be deadly, right? And they talked about how they thought they didn't get enough fumbles out, and all of a sudden, Tremaine Edmonds and T.J. Edwards to open the half punches it out from Evan Ingram. Everyone's running to the ball. It seems to me like this defense, when everyone buys in and there's a guy, an elite play caller, an elite coach in the building like Coach Eberflus, and we've been talking about since he took over the play calling last year when one of the coaches had the blue chew, that defense has been moving, right? They've been moving in the right direction. So it's just players like everything else. When you watch a good football team or a good unit, they have everything, right? And they went out and got Coach Eric Washington, a well-respected defensive line coach. The defensive line's playing well. They got a lot of good Coach Hoke, man. Coach Hoke's a really good coach, secondary coach. So they got good players. They got good coaches. And guess what you got? A good unit on that side of the ball, and really an elite unit that gives you a chance to win anywhere, anytime in the NFL.
Hey, man, I blame Parkins. He did such a good job on those blue chew reads. it's understandable that a coordinator could hear
you
that stuff.
You guys slip that one by and nobody responds. But that's all right. Yeah, I appreciate you guys responding.
Oh, no, we love it. We're right there with you. Look, you're right about the defense. I mean, in takeaways, they're second in the NFL in takeaways. Mm-hmm. They're number six mm-hmm. in turnover margin, even when you consider the rookie quarterback. And I just saw this. They are number one in terms of missed tackle rate. Only 5.8% of missed tackles. That's some Eberflus-ish, man. I mean, like that's what he preaches. I don't know if he's quite getting enough credit. It's funny when it comes up, who's the rank the coaches in this division? Everybody runs to put him fourth because LaFleur and Campbell's obviously real good, and Kevin O'Connell doing what he's doing. And maybe Eberflus still is fourth, but is he underrated, perhaps, Olin?
I think so. And I remember when he first came in, guys, with his hits principle and the way he presented himself. He's turning to George Clooney now, but when we first saw him, we wondered if the team would buy into him, if they would buy into what he was selling. Well, they have, right? You can argue that this team, when you watch them play for Coach Eberflus, they're playing for their coach. They love his play calling. He had a great plan with Kyler Gordon. I hope his hamstring's okay. I don't know what you guys thought. I thought he might have been having his best game as a pro before he got hurt. And they were disguising that blitz. I was wondering how they were going to stop the run without Tyreek Stevenson and Brisker. Well, Kyler Gordon was their plan. He was doing a hell of a job out there flying around and blitzing. But you're right. He does. This is a hard division to pick. You know, maybe you go 1A, 2A, 2B, because where do you put everybody? Because those other guys are coaching at a high level right now. Coach LaFleur, Coach Campbell, up in Minnesota with Flores. And what is their head coach's name?
O'Connell.
O'Connell. Yeah, O'Connell does a great job with quarterbacks, man, getting his guys going in the right direction. So they're doing this is a tough division, as you can tell by their records and they're being ranked maybe fourth in the NFC North isn't that bad, but I don't think Coach Eberflus is getting the credit right now that he deserves for this team, because I remember when he came in, even I thought, man, I wonder if these guys are going to buy in to what this guy is selling, and it sure looks like they have, especially on the defense side of the ball, and now the offense is getting moving in the right direction. Obviously, we got to see them against a little better competition, the Rams, Panthers, and Jaguars. Anybody want to get their offense right? And they could pick three teams to schedule. They probably scheduled those three teams.
Bye week is usually a week to self-scout. What do you hope the Bears self-scouted?
That really is a good question. I mean, we can start right where I started earlier about that silent count, right? They got to get that right with their offensive line. Teams are getting a jump on them when they're on the road. The tackle's got to work on the kick step. They got to work on their fundamentals. Look, man, guys, being a tackle on the road, Big Cat Williams can tell you, anybody who played tackle is hard, man. It's really, really hard. You got to have a count in your head, go to the center, raises his head, and then you got to go off 1,000, 1,002, go, or whatever they're doing. So they got to get better at that. You guys remember in Houston, they really struggled. In Indianapolis, they struggled protecting Caleb. On the road, the silent count, I think I would study that first and foremost, right? And then find a way maybe to move Montez Sweat around a little bit, get a little more creative with your pass rush so he can cause a little more havoc on the quarterback, and then run fits, right? We all know that their run defense, we watched through these games, they're giving up some big games against the Colts. The Panthers ran for some good yards, right? The Texans. So, the Colts game, everybody talks about how bad the offense play, people forget that at the end of the game, the offense scored, they had a chance to get the ball back, and the coach ran the ball out by running the ball on our vaunted defense that we are raving about, right? But they didn't get the ball back to Caleb that day against the coach. So first and foremost, the silent count, let's work on that with the offense line and their pass protection. And the second of all, defense and run fits. And Andrew Billings and Javon Dexter, and they got the guys on that defense, guys. Walker and Montez Sweat and Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards. And they got all these guys people should not be running the ball on them.
Hey, last thing, Olin. We have a mini fridge that we are using to replicate Doug Kramer, who was called the mini fridge. And we started to put stickers on him on the mini fridge. He's earning stickers based on his play. Are you okay if we have a sticker made of you giving the finger to the Packers? And we use that and put that on the mini fridge because we are idiots, but also we absolutely adore that picture and that sticker. You okay with that?
Can I get some of those stickers?
Oh yeah, 100%.
If we make those stickers, can I get a few of those? I got that. Maybe I don't have to tell anybody anything anymore. I just hand it to them. If people say something dumb to me, you know what I mean?
To be like a business
I'll
card.
I'll hold on to one.
Be
just
like a business card.
For every week, I'll just hold on to one and point it at myself.
And he made the stickers, Olin. They were already approved. He'll have stickers for you.
We will have those for you.
I'm looking forward to this now. Now I'm not. Now you know what? Let's talk Illinois football. Who wants to talk Illinois football?
Oh, have a great weekend, my friend. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Olin.
ILL, man. Michigan. Let's go.
Let's go. They won that game nice and clean. No problem.
Thanks,
Olin.
That is Olin Kurtz. He is great.
Oh, man. It's outstanding.
If you enjoyed that conversation, you'll enjoy the next one. Pete Bursich is going to join us. We're going to talk with him about this upcoming game in the NFC North that you need to hear about. Those of us who are, you know, not turning the page because there's good football in front of us next here on.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The score.
Pete Bursich plays well, doesn't he?
Defensively for Notre Dame. And we'll look at their base set of Knight, Young, Flanagan, Hamilton. Bursich. Takes the lumber, throws to the tight end. Morris intercepted. It's going to go for a touchdown.
The senior growth kid, Illinois. Another play, the linebacker from Michigan State. Pete Bursich making the tackle. And the handoff is to Terry Allen, and he gets pushed back. And a fine play by Pete Bursich.
You look around the National Football League, there's not a lot of depth. Minnesota has as much depth as anyone. Pete Bursich can play in a lot of places. When he gets his chance, he plays extremely well. I like his game.
Touchdown! And your Minnesota Vikings have a 9-0 lead.
Paul, Jalen Naylor ran himself all the way down the field and made a block at about the 5-yard line that allowed Jefferson to get in the end zone.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the score.
The Vikings have messed it all up, man. The 5-0 Vikings. The four best teams by point differential in the NFC all reside in the NFC North. It's Spiegel and Holmes here on 670 The Score. 17-5 is the combined record of these teams in the division. That's the best record through 6 weeks for the division ever since it was formed in 2002. And here to talk about the Minnesota Vikings portion of it is our good friend Pete Bursich, Providence Catholic's own. Hello, Pete. Welcome into The Score. How are you, buddy?
I'm great. How are you? Hey, by the way, all four of the NFC North teams are in the top seven in the take-give category as well.
Wow.
So that is, I mean, turnovers are the big thing, and they're obviously huge, but Green Bay's number one. I think you guys in Detroit are tied at three or four, and then we're seventh. So there's a number. You're looking for reasons why the NFC North is doing so well. There's a huge one right there.
Pete, I want to get to the bottom of the success of the Vikings. Like, when you watch what Kevin O'Connell did last year when Kirk Cousins got hurt, where he got production out of quarterbacks that were barely hanging on in the league. This year, he takes Sam Darnold, and he gets production. I'm guessing that the answer is he's just a really good coach. I'd love to know why he's so good at what he's been doing.
I think he's good at what he does. I have the good fortune to do a show with him. Yeah, we do it every couple of weeks, usually after wins or whatever, but kind of a recap. I've seen him at the teleprompter before. He's really good, and as every coach needs to be, at conveying kind of a complex idea in a very simple way. And that's because what you know as a coach doesn't matter. It's what your players know. And they have to be able to know and remember what you're telling them when they're under duress, when they're on the field, when they're getting hit in the head, when they're tired. Right. So you have to explain it in a very simple way. It's like when you coach a guy from Clemson, you have to explain things in a very simple way. When you're dealing with like all the eggheads from Stanford or, you know, some other school like that, then yeah, you may have to explain a little more deeply. But those guys think too much. Right. It's paralysis by analysis. You got to keep it simple. And I think that's what Kevin can do. He's also, he's a quarterback, was a quarterback in the NFL. He was a quarterback coach, coordinator, head coach. He knows that position well, and it's the most important position in sports with the rule changes and how things are going. I mean, it's become more and more important, and success in the NFL is based on having that position sewn up, which, hopefully the Bears have their guy, Caleb Williams, and you'll see a much better winning percentage in the years to come just because of that. But, Kevin's ability to develop talent has been a huge surprise, and it's invaluable. It really is. And then you look in defense and what Flores is doing with a bunch of free agents, and, nobody's really getting paid a ton of money. I mean, what one guy are you afraid of on our defense? And then you turn around and look at what they've been able to do. It's been pretty remarkable, especially with 11 interceptions in the first five games.
Pete, you're acting like you went to JCC. You went to Notre Dame. You're an egghead too, sir.
Meathead or egghead is the question.
College, the hard part's getting in. All you gotta do is work. It's not like you need to do the work. It's not like it's rocket science, you've got to make the game simple. We're just in London, right? People are always wondering, what does this mean? What does that mean? How about this? Where it's just too complicated, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, we have a tendency to want to do that. But the bottom line is if you turn the ball over too much, you're gonna lose. Look at Dallas against Detroit, three interceptions and a fumble.
Yeah.
You're not going to win a lot of games when you do that. When you score on defense, you win over 90%. You win a little over 90% of the games. It's not that hard in some ways.
Understood. Hey Pete, since the merger, there's never been four playoff teams from the same division. It's too hard to make it happen. It almost happened a couple years ago in the NFC East. The Washington team was 9-8-1. They almost made it. We need somebody to fall apart. Our money's on the Vikings. Do you think you guys have a decay in you? Because I mean, Sam Darnold with a quarterback rating of 50.3 across the pond. Is this the beginning of a decline for Sam Darnold?
It's a very good question. It's a very interesting question. I mean, you look at our numbers offensively, across the league, and we're 17th in yards, 21st in the run, 19th in the pass. It's like, the one thing that we're good at doing is scoring points, and let's say 14 points. That number would be down by three if it wasn't for Alex Van Ginkel with his two touchdowns. We've been good in the red zone. But then on the opposite side, we've played four of the top 11 defenses in the league so far. We played the Jets. We played Houston. We played the Giants. We played San Francisco. And then we played Green Bay, who's number 13. So the Green Bay defense statistically is the worst defense we've faced in five games. So now take a look at the Bears' schedule the last 6-8 weeks of the season and see the opponents that the Bears have toward the end of the year. Your schedule is going to get much more difficult, right? There are no more Tennessees. There are no more Jacksonvilles.
Carolina.
No more Carolina. So my point is I think this game against Detroit is going to be a very, very good test of where we are. Offensively, I agree with you with Sam Darnold. His completion percentage needs to be around 70%, at least in the high 60s in this offense. And I think you can look just that far. He's at 63.5 right now, which hasn't been as good the last couple of weeks. Our offense, I think, changed quite a bit without Aaron Jones. And I'm actually surprised at how much of a difference Aaron Jones has made to this team as far as, not just in the running game, but just how plays are called, the efficiency. The difference between third down and three and third down and six and seven is big. And, Aaron Jones in short yardage and red zone, deep in the red zone, he's really, really helped out this club he's helped this club out a ton. So whether or not he's healthy or ready to go, I mean, he's a big key part of this offense. But now we got Addison back and he's healthy and Jefferson. So we'll see. You got to continuously evolve to stay on top because the season's that long. So, winning now is helpful to get you in the playoffs, makes it a little easier, but you want to be playing your best ball in December.
It seems like Dan Campbell might be your type of guy. When you look at the success that he's had with the Lions, what stands out to you?
Obviously, the mentality, that he has, I don't know. I don't see little red-eyed people at the foot of my bed yelling things at me and staying awake all night. That doesn't happen to me. I think sometimes Campbell tells us a little bit too much, right? I think for Campbell, one thing is he's a risk taker, right? They run with the trick plays and with going for it on fourth down and a lot of those things. They have a really good football team. And so sometimes I don't know if those risks are necessary per se. What they do have is a very, very good offensive line, very, very solid ones with Frank Ragnow back. In a very, very good running game, David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, that's a 1-2 punch that helps a defense out a ton because you could possess the ball and they run the ball and then they take their shots deep off play action. Goff doesn't, I don't think, do very well with people in his face. So that's going to be the big challenge, for the Vikings defense is can we get people at his feet and make, I think you got to make him throw the football 40 times. You can't let him just, go 18 for 18. Obviously, some of the numbers the yardage has been incredible, but then you look at the attempts and you're like, my God, he threw the ball 18 times, 15 times, 20, you know, it's pretty amazing.
Hey, Pete, you know why the Bears are winning, right? It's not because Caleb Williams is really good, although I think he might be. It's because they got like five guys, maybe six guys who are from here. TJ Edwards.
It's because you've been betting against them. That's why they're winning.
No, TJ Edwards is Lake Villa. You know, they got a backup center, a mini fridge from Hinsdale and Doug Kramer.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's
it's
right.
Cole Kmet from Arlington Heights, you know.
You know, even Lou Holtz would always say he didn't like to have a lot of guys from California on his team because they grew up with sand between their toes.
He didn't like that. You got any local Minnesotans on the Vikings? Because that's why the Bears are winning, because we got locals.
Let's see. Well, Blake Cashman is a Minnesota kid, Eden Prairie.
Yeah.
And then I know Andrew Van Ginkle is from one of the Dakotas. We consider the Dakotas part of Minnesota because it's all flat, and you know, you really, there's not. You got a river. That's the only reason why there's a state line, is because of the river. And we share state parks. We share monuments.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so basically, you know, and where else, what other team are you going to root for? Kansas City? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So Ginkle's a Minnesota guy, too. I have to look a little deeper.
Okay.
Off the top of my head.
I think we got the most. I think the Bears have the most locals of any team in the NFL, and that's why Super Bowl, my friend. That's why.
Well, the problem is, you got to think about when these kids grew up. I mean, I was, 13 in 85. So when I think of the Bears, I'm like, yeah, hell yeah. 46D. What did they grow up with?
They had the 06 team.
Yeah, a lot of them grew up with the 06 team. In fact,
with Cutler?
No.
Cutler was 3 years later.
Kmet had Urlacher jersey in his basement. Growing up.
Yeah, they grew up with Urlacher, wow. Mike Brown, Olin Krutz,
Peanut Tillman.
Charles Tillman. They had a good group. Mm-hmm.
You bring up the Comets, you know, and I know that they have a very – somewhere in the family, and I had Ryan Grigson, who used to be the GM for the Colts, told me a story about Comet and I don't know if it's his sister or whatever, Dayton – Jeff Cegonia's daughter. I mean, it's like they're like genetically they're creating a superhuman who's probably going to go to the University of Iowa and play for Ferentz's last 4 years of coaching. And then that person, that same child, will be drafted by the Bears. And
it's a prophecy.
It'll be Super Bowl after Super Bowl.
There you go. That's the way we're getting it done around these parts. Pete, you're the best, man. Thank you, dude.
All right, man. See you guys later.
All right, we'll see you soon. That's Pete Bursich, Providence Catholic, born in Joliet. But now a voice of the Vikings and a good man.
Doing Manifest Destiny on the Dakotas. That is a something.
Just taking
right there.
Over. He's right.
I ran into a funny moment between two former Cubs that are in the playoffs. I would like to share that with you. Next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I'll just say, Lawrence, you were saying some stuff last week, if my memory is correct.
That's why Danny left.
Afternoons on The Score.
Swung on, a high drive to right. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Once again, Rizzo rakes. He homers to deep right to tie the game. About as big a home run as the Yankees have had in a while. And as you well know, nobody beats the Riz.
You have to be from New York.
Nobody beats the Riz.
And over 50, I would think, to get it, but maybe it's been co-opted into songs enough.
Well, there's Nobody Beats the Biz. It was a take.
Nobody beats the
off
Riz.
That too, so that's what I was doing.
There it is.
Added Nobody Beats the Riz.
Nobody Beats the Wiz was a commercial on the Yankees television broadcasts of many people's youths.
Absolutely. Speaks.
Yo.
Seinfeld reference.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the late 80s and early 90s when Mike Harkey was patrolling Lakeview and pitching for the Cubs?
Mike Harkey was supposed to be the next great Cubs pitcher.
He really was.
And he was not.
No, it didn't work out for him. That first season was really strong.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it just kind of didn't really happen for him.
But
he was fine, but It wasn't what it was supposed to be.
No, and he, but he has lingered. I mean, there were injuries, and there was all sorts of stuff that kept him out for like the first, like second and third years of his career. But the it's weird because Mike Harkey is a coach with the Yankees, and of course Mark Pryor is there walking to the mound every few innings as a coach, pitching coach for the Dodgers.
Mike Harkey apparently does really funny interviews, and I ran across an interview where he talks about dealing with the phone calls because he's the bullpen coach for the Yankees. This is him dealing with weird people making weird phone calls to the bullpen.
We really don't change much. We still laugh. We still fool around. I try to keep it as loose as I can because I know every time the phone rings, it becomes a little bit heart pounding, especially when Rizzo calls in the fourth inning like he always does.
He's calling in the fourth inning? What's he saying?
I don't know, but I have to yell at him after every game and stop playing on the phone. But yeah, he likes to play on the bullpen phone.
I don't like people playing on my phone.
So Rizzo's just calling a mess with Mike Harkey in the fourth inning of every game?
Yep.
That's like a moment where you're the bullpen coach and you're like, fourth inning? Oh, no. I'm barely ready. What are we going to do? We're going to go to a short man? We're going to go to a long man? There's probably a moment of terror every freaking game for Mike Harkey.
And it's just Rizzo going, what's that?
Nobody beats the Riz.
What a jag.
Nobody beats the Riz. My partner.
Jamoke, excuse me.
Threw something at us. This, yeah, be careful. Oh, yeah. Threw something at us in our meeting today that we were all like, stop talking. We need to do this on the air. We will share with you what it is next on The Score.
I don't like people playing on my phone.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.